bosom glow with love. Please be seated.
A few years ago, an urgent plea went out from a Philadelphia hospital. They were searching for a heart for a young 16-year-old boy who needed a transplant. For 3 weeks, a nationwide search was conducted to try to locate a heart that would be compatible with this young man. He was an outstanding athlete. He was a very good student. He was committed to his family, friends, and his community. But due to a complication that developed from what was just a common routine illness, this young man's heart had enlarged and was quickly failing. His mother sat by his bedside every day, caring for him, encouraging him to fight for his life. She used the media daily to try to plead with the nation to respond and give her son a new heart. Sadly, after progress was not made in finding a heart, this young man died. When we start thinking about those kinds of circumstances, it reminds us that even though we can do amazing things in our world today in the field of medicine, heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America and has been since 1900. Over 300,000 Americans will die this year from heart disease. People that develop those kinds of problems have a choice to make. Sometimes it is as simple, though hesitate to say simple, but sometimes it is as simple as a stent being replaced. Sometimes it is open heart surgery. Sometimes there's need for a transplant. We're given lots of hope, and that's what God does for us with our hearts. The reality is that every one of us needs a heart transplant in one way, spiritually. We have to turn toward God in order to do that. When I start thinking about obedience from the heart and this great passage that we are looking at in Romans chapter 6, thousands of sermons have been preached, thousands of Bible lessons have been taught, and yet people are dying of spiritual heart disease. When we think about the heart, that part of us that reasons, that thinks, that chooses, that accepts, that rejects, we are thinking about perhaps the single most important part of us. As we look to life today, as we look to life beyond today, we will deal with heart problems in one degree or another. Sometimes we see even our own children walk away. We see them develop spiritual heart disease. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. It's discouraging. And it's hard for us to not see the reality sometimes of the choices that even our children make. One of the sad things that I've seen is that some parents change their faith because of the behavior of their children. I have no idea why. God is the same as He was yesterday. He will be the same tomorrow as He is today. And as we see our children turn away from what we have understood to be the message of God, it will not change God's message. What needs to happen is we need to start working diligently toward heart repair. It may be serious enough for a total transplant, but when we see even our own children and we see people that we love dearly walk away from God and from His will, the Bible makes it very clear what happens. Hard for us to accept sometimes, but as you look at Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, Jesus, in this passage and parallel passages to this one, make it very clear, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. This morning, as we look at people who need the message of God, we need to see people who are having heart difficulties, difficulties that arise from within, not people who are products of their environment, but people who make choices, who from within choose everything that you see on the screen and any other sin that is not there. Heart problems obviously come from within. And when we have heart problems, this great text in Romans chapter 6 teaches us some of the results. We become slaves. Not one of us wants to be a slave. I've never known a university student to come, even when I used to help with registration, and I would advise students on classes that they ought to take for the major that they were choosing. I've never had a university student come and say to me, "Dr. Sharp, I want to be a slave. Make me a slave. Give me the major that will make me the greatest slave you have ever known." What we're looking for is for someone to serve us. What we're looking for is a job that will give us the things that we want in this life, in this world. And in making our choices, these choices that come from within that are negative choices, we become slaves. Never meant to, but we become slaves of sin. I remember a story that I read years ago about the Arabian who was riding his camel across the desert, and a great storm came up, and he had time to put his tent up. It was a very small tent, but the wind was blowing and the sand was blowing, and the man had to get in out of the wind and out of the sand blowing, and he had to leave his camel outside. And the story says that after some time, the camel stuck its head in the tent and asked his master if it would be okay if he just put his head in the tent, and the master wanted to please, and so he said yes. And then the storm raged, and the camel said, "Could I come in just a little bit further?" And the story just went on until the camel was inside this small tent with his master, and there was no room. And the master asked the camel if he would get out, and the camel said, "If it's room you want, there's all kinds of it outside of this tent." That's the way sin works in our lives. It comes in just a little bit at a time. We do not intend to become its slave. We do not want to become let it become our master. We become servants of sin, verse 7 says. And then in verse 9, the text says that we permit sin to reign over us and become Lord. It has dominion over us. It is the rule of our lives. And the devil will say, "If you want freedom, there's plenty of room outside away from me." But often we don't want that room. We want what we are getting, even though it doesn't seem to fit our lives. Romans 6 and verse 12 says that one of the results is that sin reigns over us. It rules over us. It's the same concept as having dominion over us. It's the same concept of us being a slave, a servant of sin. And then verse 12 teaches us that we obey sin in its lust, those desires that God would not permit us to have if He could reign in our lives. Those evil desires and actions, thoughts, they will not be in our hearts and minds if God reigns in our lives. But we obey because we reject the Lord and we choose the rule of Satan and we listen to the direction of Satan. And so verse 13 says that we yield. And our body becomes an instrument that is being used to produce unrighteousness in the world. And when we become an instrument to produce unrighteousness in the world, that means if we have parents, we're encouraging our parents to be like us. If we have children, we're encouraging our children to be like us. If we have friends, we're encouraging our friends to be like us. If we work at some place, we're encouraging our co-workers. You see, everybody that we communicate with and that we come in contact with, we have yielded and have become an instrument to encourage other people to leave God as well. The results are sad as we think about what sin does to us and what spiritual heart problems do to us. And so we raise the question, what can be done? There may be at least one person in this room who thinks that you are so far gone that you could never be loved by God, you could never be loved by God's people, that you are not thought about, you are not cared about. But God is teaching us that we can fix the problems of our heart if we choose. But it's a choice, and it's not an easy choice for a lot of people. When we ask what can be done, Jesus gave us a great story. We love stories in our culture. This is the story about a farmer that goes out and sows seed. And when Jesus interprets that story for us, he tells us that the seed is the Word of God. And when we are willing to listen, when we are willing to permit that seed into our heart, we can tell what kind of heart we have. You see, that story is about hearts. It's about the kind of heart that you and I possess. Is it a fact that I have a heart that is so hard it's like the wayside ground? Or am I so shallow that my heart is like the stony ground? Or have I gotten so involved in the things the world offers to me, the cares and the pleasures of the world, that my heart is like the thorny ground? Or, as God would have it, is my heart open and receptive to the seed, His Word? What a great passage chapter 13 of Matthew is, and verse 23. He who received seed on the good ground, that's what God wants. God wants every one of us listening to His Word. And He wants our hearts to be of such a nature that when that Word is taught and we take it into our hearts, that our hearts are like that good ground that's going to receive the seed. And it is he who hears the Word and understands. When we hear the Word, we understand it. That's God's concept of receiving the Word. Some will produce 100-fold, some 60, some 30. When you think about your heart and your life, what kind of heart do you possess this morning? All you need before God is a heart that is ready to hear the Word of God, ready to understand the Word of God, and let that Word sink into your heart. And you can be exactly what God wants you to be. When we start thinking about this healthy heart, it hears, it understands, and it receives. And this great chapter tells us a number of things that we can receive if we hear the Word of God and understand it. One of the things this passage talks about, we read in verse 17, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. There's teaching that must be done. We do not enjoy study a lot of the time. It's hard work. It's hard work to prepare sermons. It's hard work to prepare Bible classes. It's hard work to go to school and do the work that is required in our grades from kindergarten through the university. We grow weary. In fact, The Bible teaches us that much study is a weariness of the flesh. It's hard work. There's nothing easy about it, but God is teaching us in His Word. And there is doctrine that must be learned, though we do not like it some days. We need doctrine. And we need to think about the right kind of death. We are baptized, Romans 6 and verse 3 says, into the death of Christ. All of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, since we have died, we are buried with Him in baptism, so that, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might be raised to walk in newness of life. This morning, if the seed is going to be planted in the heart of someone who is not a child of God, when they receive the Word of God, they will have heard that they must be baptized into Christ, into His death, be buried with Him, and be raised with Him. That's what the message of God teaches. That's the doctrine that this text teaches us that we must be willing to hear, that brings about the right kind of death. And that right kind of death brings us deliverance. Verse 7 teaches us that this body of sin is done away. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We need that death. We need that freedom from sin, that deliverance. And then verse 6 teaches us about a determination. We should no longer be slaves to sin. Stop sinning. Is that possible? Well, it's possible in terms of a lifestyle. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all are going to make mistakes. We're all going to continue to make mistakes. But there's not a one of us that should consider a lifestyle of sin. Who would choose to live in sin, continue to sin over and over again? We need the help that God gives us in His doctrine, in His teaching. When we are willing to hear the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and receive it, what great blessing to be free from this body of sin that is going to be ours until from the heart. From the heart. From the inside out. We obey that form of doctrine that was taught to us as God's message is delivered to us. The results of having a godly heart are so far superior to any heart transplant physically, any surgery, any stent, anything that we might do to improve our physical heart, to change our mind, to change our lives, to change our heart, brings about the result that we want. Romans 6, beginning with verse 22, says, but now that we've heard the word and we've understood it and we've received it, we've obeyed it, now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we think about this great passage, and as we think about obedience from the heart, our purpose in this next song is to encourage any one of you who might be having spiritual heart troubles to come to the great physician for the help that only He can give. Our hope is that if you are a child of God and you've developed that lifestyle of sin again, you're ready to change your heart and mind and life and turn back to the Lord through repentance and prayer. We're prayerful that if you're a person who knows that you need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ, living faithfully to Him, that you will turn your heart to the Lord and respond as we stand and as we sing.
Give me thy heart.